Cook versus Jessica Stewart case. And sir, we do not have Ms. Woods with us. She indicated she would not be available with waiving oral argument, and I think you've consented to that
yes, sir.
So we have read your briefs, and we're ready to proceed whenever you're ready, sir. And of course, you have 15 minutes. Thank you.
May I please support my name is Brady Chick on behalf of Mr. Cook. This case is a divorce case where Judge Martin spent 2 days listening to evidence, and then he published a letter opinion to us regarding his findings. And in that letter opinion, he cited my client's involvement in a deferred finding involving domestic A and B as to be the change of circumstances to adjust the custody and visitation. And it's our argument, Your Honor, that the statute is pretty clear that the use of the deferred finding statute has restricted uses.
How is that relevant? If the underlying facts is that he's a violent person and abused this woman, isn't that relevant no matter what the ultimate disposition of the case is?
Yes, Your Honor, that would be relevant. This was a misdemeanor issue, and it was also, the court also found that nobody was injured.
Suppose the assault occurred, nobody got any warrants out, there's no criminal prosecution, but the wife comes in and testifies that's what he did to you. Isn't that sufficient for the court to consider a change of circumstances?
Your Honor, that would be it. The court would have the discretion to consider any of those issues. However, it's our position that Judge Martin specifically cited this particular deferment, this deferred finding. And had the court not done that, I think that we would have had less of an argument or no argument. But because he was so specific as to the incident, and that the incident was, and that in this incident my client had taken the deferred finding, the statute is kind of built around a box to kind of protect the.
Counsel, can you show me any case law where 18.257.3 is applied in civil cases? In other words, that's your deferment statute.
Yeah, that was the thing. I didn't find any, so that's why it was.
Well, we didn't either, so that makes us assume that, therefore, anything that occurred from the time when they had the last custody proceeding till the time they had this custody proceeding would be relevant, or could be a change of circumstances, could trigger the change of circumstances. The child was present, was he not?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
And there were pushing, loud argument, and there was a witness there. I think the mother's older son was also there. So you're alleging that all that testimony shouldn't be considered.
Your Honor, I believe because of the deferred status that we've taken all these facts, the parties have come together and they've agreed in the criminal matter. The victim agrees, the wife agrees, everybody agrees this is how it's going to work out. And it would appear that the reason the statute is set up is to stabilize a terrible situation that's going on with the emotions that go on with the divorce and all of the chest moves around, custody and visitation. And it's to stop that and then to say, okay, guys, we're going to just...
Well, let me ask you a more fundamental question.
Yes, Judge.
The complaint for divorce was filed on January 25, 2016.
Yes, Your Honor.
The J&D court ordered what appears to me to be pendente lite child support and custody on February 29th, 2016, while the divorce decree was pending. Why does the trial court even have to consider whether there's been a change in circumstances to adjust a pendente lite award?
Your Honor, I was actually a little surprised that Judge Martin took that position. But he did, and so
he didn't need to,
but he did. And so I was just asking the court to consider the fact that if the court is going to base its ruling on this change of circumstances? That because we're kind of stuck with what he was thinking.
We could decide this case based on the fact that he came to the right result, even though he did it for the wrong reason.
Well, counsel, let me state this: a change in circumstance, whatever if the judge may have stated, what really occurred based upon the evidence that was heard is that there was an altercation, there was continuing animosity that occurred in front of the child. And that animosity, according to the order and the record, occurred also in the court. So the judge based, and the order specifically says that, the judge based his decision on those issues. Whether there's a change in circumstances or whether it's based on those factual issues, does that really matter to us? The evidence is what matters to us, isn't it?
I do agree, Your Honor, but I would also point out that in representing folks in a divorce, and that these allegations of assault come up very frequently, and you have a client that's trying to manage both now this criminal allegation and also go through the civil court. Well, now you have the prosecutors now being involved and basically kind of being used as additional leverage against this father. And so I would argue, Your Honor, that once the court takes it as a deferred finding, that they have said, okay, we're going to take these circumstances, we're going to say this guy is appropriate for this particular statutory relief, and then it would be unfair. I think it would be difficult for future litigants to trust the system, to take these positions if they could now say, okay, now we're going to use this against you later on.
But that incident wasn't isolated, was it?
I couldn't speak to that, Your Honor. As far as I know, that was the only actual incident of physical contact that I was aware of.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. There was an incident where he was aggressive against a woman who was babysitting for the child. Is that correct?
I don't recall that, Judge.
He forced his way into the mother's house on one occasion. That doesn't ring a bell?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
I do know that there was the Judge Martin did cite.
Let me tell you why that might not ring a bell, because it was problematic with me. I notice there's no transcript filed in or included in the appendix.
Yes, Judge.
That always makes me wonder. So I went back and looked, and the transcript was filed on April 24th, but the final order was on February 14th, so the transcript was filed late.
Yes, Your Honor.
So how do we decide this case without knowing all of these facts that Judge Frank obviously
Judge Martin.
Considers to be important, as do I?
So, Your Honor, in preparing this brief, I felt that Judge Martin's letter opinion really cornered every aspect of the case factually and legally, and my very technical argument is that because the facts were contained within the deferred finding statute, then they should not be used against him to later penalize him on a visitation. And we're looking at a guy that had 180 days worth of visitation to now he's less than 90. And this is a father that wanted to spend time with his kids, has a great relationship.
Could be argued that he's the author of his own fate.
Absolutely, Judge.
And you tried to help him with that too. I mean, I appreciate it. I read everything. I know that you've taken the child to school. There was an issue about getting there.
Mrs. Woods and I were very close to both of the litigants.
Right, and we appreciate that. But I think the judge's order is very clear that there were issues, and there were issues even in court with the father's anger control, anger management. I don't have any other questions.
Nor do I.
Any other questions?
I have none. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We will come down and greet you.